Coach calls me into his office and he says, Jimmy, I know your commitment to God, and it's affected me, it's affected our athletes. In light of your commitment, I have one question for you. How could your God let this happen to you?
Wow.
21 years old, and I didn't know why God let that happen to me.
Everybody has a story. You do. Everybody's story matters. Nobody gets the story they want. And I want to talk today about how to prepare for your story. How do you get ready for it? My guest today is Jim Miano. Every single podcast I ever hear, who's ever hosting, always says, I'm so excited to talk about this topic, and I'm so thrilled to have this particular guest. And it's like, nobody can be that excited. So I'll just lower the bar way down. Yes, Jimmy, Harvard MBA, Olympic athlete, you know, runs Compassion International, the largest church network, blah, 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 blah. But don't get your hopes up too much. It's, you know, it'll just be what it is. So, Jimmy, here's the question. In 1 Corinthians, Paul's writing the church at Corinth. They had big games that, next to the Olympic games in the ancient world, the Corinthian games were the biggest. So he used a real familiar image. Don't you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to win the prize. They do it. They enter into strict training, he says, to win a prize that will not last. But we do it. We enter into something like strict training to win a prize that will last forever. And we're all thinking about the Olympics at the moment. When Jimmy and I are having this conversation, the Olympics are going on right now in Paris. And I thought, since you are an Olympian, and you recently ruptured your biceps pole vaulting, even though you're no longer in your 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s, it would be really cool to hear you talk a little bit about your story. Like, I think most of us mortals wonder, what in the world would it be like to be in the Olympics? How does that story work? What are the thrills? What are the pains? And then we'll get to a little bit about kind of the giant story of life. But I'd just love to hear you reflect on that a little bit.
Well, the Olympics was a dream come true. There's no way around it. And it was unbelievably spectacular for me. Just walking in the opening ceremonies.
Yes.
You know, it was just amazing. And the dream to go to the Olympics actually started like 16 years before it actually happened. And I was in third grade in Nicaragua, and I saw the 72 Munich Olympics. And I just was mesmerized, and I fell in love with the Olympics at that time. And I thought, that was like the first time I thought, I would love to go to the Olympics. That'd be a really cool thing to do.
And you were how old?
I was in third grade. Yeah, right after third grade that summer.
Unbelievable.
So I started organizing a bunch of track competitions and recess at school. We had literally a tree lid was our high jump bar. No map. You just jump and land on the ground.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. And that was always kind of your special event.
Yeah, it kind of was. By the time I was in sixth grade, I was able to jump over my head. And then, you know, eventually some 13 inches over my head. And I just loved all the events, which is why eventually I fell in love with the decathlon, which is the event that I competed in. I just loved all the track and field events.
Wow. So when I was in third grade, I dreamed of putting a towel around my shirt and being Superman. How in the world did you pursue it? And then what was it like when it actually happened?
Well, real quick, to give some context, my parents in 65 years of marriage moved 41 times. So I moved from country to country, house to house, 8 schools before graduating high school. So I was always a new kid on the block. And they were mostly outside the United States, in Bolivia and Nicaragua and Panama and Colombia and the Philippines. And so a way for me to get to know friends and get to be liked was athletics and achievement. And so if you want to be known and respected and wanted, well, just achieve. And so that the athletics were a way for me to do that every time we went to a new place. But we lived through 3 coups and all sorts of hardships in all these countries. And we would visit the United States, and this place looked perfect to me. And I dreamed about leaving that world that, you know, that I was growing up in the developing world and wanting to come to the United States. And in fact, I wanted to represent the United States in the Olympics. That was the dream, because I was dual citizen of El Salvador and the United States. And But my story, you talk about story a lot, the story I wanted, which is not the story I ended up getting, but the story I wanted was to compete for the United States. And by the time I graduated high school, I had comparable scores to Bruce General's world record performance in 76.
Wow.
But I needed to learn the other five events, and SMU gave me a scholarship, and they had a couple world record holders on that team, national title in collegiate level. And so I was learning all the events and ready to go. This was, you know, going to be my dream come true and be able to represent the United States. But that's not what happened.
And I mean, I just have to say, when you talk about that level of challenge growing up and then what you did achieve, it's just astounding. I feel I am not worthy to have this conversation. I'm sure that's your wife's Leanne response to you all the time.
I would be dumb.
but it is just remarkable to hear about. So if it didn't unfold exactly the way that you wanted to, how did you adjust to that? How did it unfold?
Well, when I went to SMU back in 1983, we won the national title. I set the school record in the decathlon. And so I was set for two more years. I got redshirted that next year, and then I was going to have two senior years and go to business school at SMU after graduating with an engineering degree. And so, but that academic senior year, in my first decathlon, I tore, as I took off on the long jump, the tendon behind my knee popped. And then I flew through the air 20-some feet, landed on my right leg, twisted my right knee. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's over. And I tried to come back too soon, and I tore the same tendon again. Coach calls me into his office, and he says, Jimmy, I know your commitment to God, and it's affected me. It's affected our athletes. In light of your commitment, I have one question for you. How could your God let this happen to you? You're such a hard worker.
Wow.
21 years old, and I didn't know why God let that happen to me. And I said, Coach, I don't know. All I know is that a faith isn't a faith if you only have it in good times. And these are not good times.
Wow.
I said, well, I understand that. But you know, we vie for the national title every year, and I can't afford to give you the scholarship for business school after you graduate. You know, you got your 4 years, but I think we need to end it. I felt like I'd gotten fired. I felt like I was just this utter failure. And I went to the top of the football stadium there at SMU and just bawled my eyes out. And then I got this great idea. I said, God, you can make this right. You're the healing God. You can heal. And so I prayed a prayer of healing over my leg. And I went down to the football field, and I took off running, and I tore it for the third time in 4 weeks.
Wow.
So that was a very clear no. That is not the story I have for you. So I did not go to business school at SMU, graduated, took an engineering job. 2 years later, when I thought my career was completely over, through a set of circumstances that are just crazy, the president of the Olympic Federation of El Salvador sends me a letter and invites me to, would I consider representing them at the Pan American Games in 87? And I did. I got fourth there, but I tore the muscle again in the eighth event and made it through the ninth and tenth event enough to keep my fourth spot. And then they said, well, we're in the middle of a civil war. We only have money for six athletes in all the sports, from boxing and swimming and track.
Oh, wow. Everything.
We only have money for six. We'd like you to try, but we can't promise you that you'd go. But would you try to qualify for the Olympics? And so then I went back to my college coach and asked if he would coach me, which he did. And I just trained there at SMU, not going to school there. I just trained there with other athletes and did qualify. And then they did select me. And I did go to the Olympics representing the country of my birth, El Salvador. And now here's the thing, because this is what happens. You don't get the story you want. Sometimes you get to the point where the story you don't want becomes a story you wouldn't want to change.
And
that happened to me. And El Salvador opened up the opportunity to live out a childhood dream.
And
had a few highlights there, beating the world record holder in three of the 10 events. And high jump was my event, as you mentioned earlier. And it was just down to him and I in the high jump. And Lord allowed me to win and have that moment. And it was a great, just a wonderful experience for me. in the most profound ways, for sure. But more profound than that was that I got to see God's working of the church in South Korea, a front row seat to that. The pastor of the world's largest church, Paul Yonggi Cho at the time, he at a prayer meeting at the Olympic Village, about 100 of us athletes went. I'm 5'8 and 165 pounds. I felt I needed all the prayer I could get. I went to the prayer meeting, and he prayed over us, and then he invited us to his church, and we went to his church, and then we went to a seminar that just talked about the church revolution revival that happened starting in North Korea in 1904 and went down to South Korea. And that movement continues to this day. And they went from just a handful of believers, Christians, percentage, just a handful percentage points to over 20% in like a generation of Christ followers. So
wow,
it was like I was watching Acts 2 in our time. And I went for an athletic experience. I came home with a calling to serve the church with my life. And that was the turning point for me. And God let me have that Olympic dream as a child. But he used it to give me a calling for the rest of my life to serve his church.
Wow. So not getting the story that you wanted, but when you got there, really you were given a new story. And I think about, you know, all of those challenges growing up where you did, and now serving to, you know, help the hungry, poorest of the poor children all around the world because of where you grew up and because of how you grew up, and that fierce determination of, I'm just not going to quit, how God has ended up using that in ways that far transcend your own life.
Absolutely. And because of my connections to the Olympic Committee in El Salvador, Compassion has a partnership, and we do a Compassion Olympics every year. 10,000 of our participants engage in it. And the Olympic Committee has trained our pastors to run a lot of their sports.
Oh my gosh.
System in El Salvador. And our,
I didn't even know that.
A couple of our participants in the program actually won the fourth place in the Caribbean and Caribbean Games and Central American Games in crew.
Wow.
Like, these are impoverished children in a super, you know, elite sport of crewing that they would never touch. It's opened up so many doors in other places too. And I think the Olympic experience did open up the door to Harvard Business School. And if you recall, had I not gotten injured,
right,
gone to SMU's business school, but because of the injury,
yep,
that opened up the door later to a Harvard experience, which actually also helped prepare me for what I'm doing today and opened up the doors.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. After 30 years of friendship, I keep learning new things about you and admiring you all that much more. Thank you. And everybody who's listening right now, I don't care what race you're running. I don't care how big you think you are or gifted you think you are or what feels torn in your life. You just keep going. There's a race going on. Paul says, I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. And we never know what the story is going to lead to. All we know that it matters. It's worth running the race. And God has a story for us. So keep running today, just for one day. You just keep running. I love you. Jimmy, I love you. I'll see you very soon.
Love you, John. Y'all take care.
Hey, if you enjoyed that video, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss any future teachings from John Ortberg here at Become New. My name's Tim, and I'm a part of the team here. This series is all about stories. Everybody has a story, and everybody's story matters. And we want to know about your story, whether it's a story of coming to faith or a story of spiritual growth. Whatever it is, we're here for you. You can email that to us at connect@becomenew.com, or you can text it to us. You can also sign up for daily reminders whenever we drop a new video via text by texting the word become to the number 855-888-0444. You can also send us prayer requests there. There's a team of us that meet to pray each weekday for viewers just like yourself. If you'd like to receive the emails that go along with each video, be sure to check that out at becomenew.com/subscribe. More than a video to watch, this is really a community to belong to, and we're so glad that you're a part of it. We'll catch you next time.